me say something very interesting here. If you are born again, that means you have the Holy Spirit. That means you get the love of God. Then why you got a divorce? God. Let me explain why. Because having the Holy Spirit is not equal to having knowledge. Let me give you an example. You can have a complete tool set and can't fix your car. Having the love of God is not the same as having the knowledge to fix stuff. That's why you need this teaching. You need to know, how do I use this equipment? Everyone who got a divorce still loved the person during the time when they were getting the divorce. They still loved them. Because you just can't dump the tool chest. The problem was they couldn't live together. Because there was so much ignorance. There was so much misunderstanding of how to use the tool. It makes me weep. People would abuse or hurt someone. And then they'd say, but I love you. I don't know why I did that. What they're saying is, I still got the agape, I'm still full of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know how to use the tools. That's why you need knowledge. Don't get married on love. People talk when they love you. Always remember what love is. What is love? The decision to commit and meet my needs for the rest of my life and expect nothing. That's love. So the next time some guy or woman says to you, I love you, ask them, so that means you are going to meet my needs for the rest of my life and expect nothing from me? That relationship over. But that's what they are asking for. Christ didn't just save us. He keeps us. He supplies all of our needs. You got to have something if you're going to take him out the house. You got to have something, brother. You got to have something to care. Okay, here's what agape is. If you can tell a person why you love them, the love is canceled. Is no longer love. This is why nowhere in the Bible, nowhere on any page, does God ever tell us why he loves us. It doesn't exist in the Bible. Because the minute you give a reason, it's no longer love. The next time someone tells you they love you, ask them why and wait for the answer. Because the answer will be the destruction of the relationship. I guarantee it. Whatever they answer will destroy the relationship. You don't believe me? Let's prove it. If there is a reason, it becomes a condition. I love you because you got a good job, but you better keep that job, brother. That's the condition, you see. I love you because you weigh 132 pounds, 36, 28, 42. Listen, you better stay that size all your life. It's a condition. I love you because you're an athlete. You winning all the awards. Yeah, don't you ever get in an accident and get crippled from the neck down, because the love is cancer. Wherever there is a reason, there's a condition. Step number two. Wherever there's a condition, it gets worse. There's expectation. I love you because you got long hair. But listen to me. You better not cut that hair. I expect you to keep your hair the way I like it. So the pressure is on. And when you start growing old and turn gray and start falling out, I don't want to see you anymore. Because it was the hair that got me with you. It's a condition. Any condition becomes an expectation. It gets worse. The expectation will guarantee disappointment. Because nothing in life remains the same. You love a person because they, you know, are athletic, or they got, you know, that Coke bottle shape. Listen to me, brother. After three babies and putting up with you, she can't keep no Coke bottle. What you gonna do now? She look like her mother now. And that's why men go running around looking for these young women. They never loved you at the first, but they love your shape. It was the condition of your shape. So they go looking for it again around the high schools. It's not love. It was a condition. She loved you because you got that job, CEO, at that company. And that company shuts down because the headquarters is overseas. And now you are down to zero, brother. I wonder if she still will live with you. Condition. She expects you to work there for the rest of your life. It gets worse. Expectation and disappointments will lead to divisions in a relationship. Have you ever heard this? I didn't expect it to come to this. What they're saying is there's a division in my expectation. You let me down. And the division results in the worst thing in the world. Divorce. By the way, the word division, look at it very carefully. DI means two. Vision means one. So when you have disappointment, you end up with two visions in the house. And Jesus said, any house division against itself cannot stand. Once you change and get two visions, it's over in the relationship. This is why love has no expectation. If I expect you to always make $100,000 a year, you're in trouble. You better never lose that job. But you can't control that. There are so many people in this place who are pressured because of expectation. I see women in the morning, 5 a.m.
jogging.
Why? Some dumb husband sitting home with a big belly saying, "You girl, you need to look right." She's under pressure. Expectation. Who do you think you are? You get up, go jog, you fat belly. Some women are under so much pressure to try and keep their husband's eyes on them that the stress is causing the woman to get cancer. Just the stress. Because that man doesn't know what love is. He starts saying things like, "Why don't you look like Cheryl? You're putting on too much weight. You know, you're not, you know, look at this picture 10 years ago. That ain't you, see?" And they start putting pressure on you. "That man need beaten by me. Bring him to me. I will whoop him." Because he forgot that his stomach is now bigger than his chest and his head receded. Sometimes we forget that we change too. That's why our relationships ain't working. I expect nothing from my wife, Ruthann. Nothing. And today she'll tell you, "I expect nothing." She ironed my shirt. I told her, "What you doing?" "Why?" "Because I don't expect you to iron it." So I tell her, "Thanks." Every time she cooks, I tell her, "Thanks." Why? I ready, when I come, I'm ready to cook. When you expect nothing, you prepare to do it yourself. And when someone does it, you appreciate it. This is real. You walk in the house, "Where my food, woman? What you talking about? You just destroyed the relationship." "She been working all day too. What's your problem? She just got on 5 o'clock. What's wrong with you?" Listen, if you love someone, you anticipate the need. Why don't you bring food home already cooked for her? Why don't you buy something for her? Anticipate she tired too. That's love. I wake up, get out of bed, and make the bed. My wife said, "What you doing?" I said, "I slept in this bed." She said, "You don't got to do it." I said, "I know, but I expect to do it. I don't expect you to do this." That's why we are so close. That's why we love each other so much. Because there's no reason for our love. You got to get rid of it. We got this unrealistic expectation. And here's the worst part. Divorce is a death. Ask anyone who's been divorced in this room. It's a death. Something died. So God simply says, "I so love you. I give myself to you." That's it. No reason. Never gives it. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us what? Love one another, for love comes from God." That's number one. That word love there is agape. Agape. Everyone who loves, agape, has been born from God and they know God. Whoever does not love, agape, does not know God, because God is agape. That's why the Bible says something else about love. I love it. It says, whoever does not love does not what? Even know God. He's talking about agape. Because God is love. Again, 1 John 4, read. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is the real love. It comes from God. First of all, you meet someone and they don't know God, but they look good. They smell good. They dress nice. They got a good job. They got powerful access to money. They got all the nice cars and the rides and the house. They got the house behind the gate. And they, oh, glory. Yeah, 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 yeah. But they don't have God, it says. Now, listen to me, friends. Even those who got God get trouble. Because someone tells you, "I'm saved," that ain't no qualification to marry them. All they tell you is they got a tool set. Don't know how to use a Christ thing in it, but I got a tool set. That's what it means. I'm saved means I got a tool set. I got the stuff. Don't know how to use it. Now, don't get me wrong now. If you can take a chance with someone with a tool set. The verse says what? God is love. Watch this. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God lives in him. That means this person got to be intimately covered by God. And even that's not enough now. It's not enough. But at least they got the raw material to work with. Let me explain why it's not enough. Love is a decision to commit to meet another person's needs for the rest of their lives without expectation. And that's a high order. That's love. What is love? Love is a decision to commit to meet the needs of another person for life without expectation. That's agape. Let me tell you something. If someone falls into phileo with you, that's friendship love. That means that's mutual agreement. You treat me nice, I treat you nice. You stop treating me right, I stop coming with you. I expect you to behave yourself, then I'll be with you. That's phileo. Eros says, you give me some, I give you some. I give you money, you give me sex. No money, no sex. You got expectations there, you see? So that's not love. Then you got stergo. Stergo is, we are friends as long as you don't hurt me. So there's expectation. But agape is this strange kind of love. It has no expectation. Write this down. Love is therefore caring for a person. Now, caring is defined as to anticipate a need and meet it right now. When you care about someone, you study what they need tomorrow and give it to them today. In other words, caring means I outthink you. If someone cares for you, they spend all their lives figuring out what you need next and give it to you now. Boy, would it be nice to be married to someone like that? People say they care for you. Check, see what they anticipated you needed. See if you got it. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? For he careth for you. The word careth, there's a Hebrew word. It means to anticipate a need and meet it. It says, God anticipated your need and met it before you even asked. You know when God said, when you pray to him, watch God now. He said, pray to me for what you need. He said, pray. He said, now when you pray, remember, while you are speaking, I will say, here I am. And while you are even yet speaking, I'll say, here it is. In other words, even before you finish the sentence, let me ask you a question. Did God die for you after you sinned? No, because that's not caring. When God created you, he anticipated the possibility that you might fall. So the Bible says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, just in case you fell. The Bible calls it a dowry. A dowry is caring. You go off and prepare a place, and then you come back and receive them unto yourself. Love is the manifestation of inherent nature of God. That's why God is love. And God cares all the time. It's when God's agape flow through the human spirit, that's true love. Let me define agape for you in a practical way. Don't ever forget that. Teach it to your children, because this is one of the most important sessions you've ever had. The death of a marriage goes deeper. It creates dysfunctional families. So the kids grow up now with a defect. And usually a divorced parent will breed a divorced child who also gets a divorce. That's how deep that is. Just by the decision to have a reason for loving a person, it goes all the way to the social decay in a country. Social decay results in community destruction, because you are creating potential broken homes, broken hearts. We don't understand love. It ain't kissing and hugging and touching nobody's body parts. Love is so deep, we are still in eros. We need to go to the kingdom level. So your relationship is personal, but it's never private. It affects all of us. Some of you in this room, your parents got a divorce and you were 14 or maybe 12 and you are still trying to recover mentally. You live between two houses. You're making appointments to see your parent. I mean, this is not easy. There's psychological issues going on here that people don't understand. I was talking to a young lady the other day. She said, Pastor Miles, I just want to see my daddy. I just want to see him. I understood what she was saying. I just want to see him. I'm at the age in my life now where I need to hear a father talk to me, she says. I got some decisions to make and I need a daddy. She was 22. Social dysfunction. I want you to just write this down. Promises are made to humans and can be broken. I love you. You're the only one I love. That's a promise. Don't trust that. They need to say that to God. Then they end the judgment. Promises have no consequences. Vows have consequences. That is why when you make a vow before the altar, here's what you say. I promise to love you, to care for you in sickness and in health, in riches and poverty. Watch this. Until death. The death is the judgment. It has an inherent judgment in it. Promises don't. An engagement is a promise. A marriage, a wedding is a vow. You can break off an engagement without consequences before God, but you can't break off a vow. God will judge you. There are folks in this room who are experienced, they've been under judgment, they know what it feels like. They break that vow, they suffer some things, some death in their spirit, death in their emotions. They hurt so deep no one could explain the hurt. That's judgment. So if you're married, Paul says stay married. Fight for it. Try your best to put it back together. You don't want the judgment on you. This one got to work, man. You got sense now. You know what to do. Let your children see you recovered and you know how to do it. If you've been divorced, thank God for this session. And if anybody wink at you, tell them, listen to this too, 14 times. Because I ain't going twice in the wrong direction. You know, the kingdom standard for marriage is interesting. The kingdom says, if I propose to you to marry you as a woman, it says, I will pledge you my troth. We call it engagement today. That means I decided I want to commit to meet all your needs for the rest of your life. And I expect nothing from you in return.
Inspiring habit.
A dowry is caring. You go off and prepare a place. And then you come back and receive them unto yourself. I know there are many conditions in this room, but I'm dealing with the hope part. Let the future be better than the present. You are not married? Learn this lesson today. If you have been married and you plan to get married again, learn this lesson today. Go into relationships with sobriety. Ask God to give you wisdom and make decisions, even though they may be hard decisions. Break off some relationship that ain't, you know it ain't right. Break it off now, because you're on your way to destruction. Some people are better off just staying single a little longer, because the person you're going with, you too expensive. And I know all you women know what it is to marry a stingy man. Oh Lord, he will know where every penny gone. You got to beg to buy a pair of shoes for 3 weeks. I told you we don't understand love. Love is a high order. So you take notes good, and you have your conversations over coffee. You interested in me? Let me find out if you understand what we're getting into here. Because I don't want you, you know, I got a good life right now. I mean, a little lonely, you know, but I got a good life right now. So I don't want you to mess up my loneliness. You're going to exchange your singleness for frustration? I'm talking about the men too, you know. Some men doing fine. They didn't marry a woman who's a parasite. She don't bring nothing to the relationship. Suck the lifeblood out of this guy. He lose everything. Some of you got some friends you involved with right now talking about you plan to get married. You better take this session to them and say, let me check you out closely. Because my life is too important to walk around with a broken heart the rest of my life. We need sense. Let's go get some sense. Because we are destroying our country. Because we don't understand love. You love this man. You put no condition on him. He may get fired in the morning or get laid off. And he comes home with a pink slip. Man, what you going to do? And he tells you, we got to move back in an apartment. We got to give him this house. Do you still love him? Or do you attack him? You're a failure. I should have never married in the first place. Woman, you need Jesus. Your expectations create the problem. I love you if you got nothing. I love you if you got something. What love is this? That's the love that works. Let that love be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You come down that aisle in your white dress, and you stand there with your tuxedo and your black suit, and you stand before God, and you start opening your mouth. Here's what God says. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it, because God has no pleasure in fools. He called you a foolish person if you stand there saying, I love you till death do I part, and you don't know what you're talking about. You make a vow, he says, and you don't fulfill it. I have no pleasure in fools. So fulfill your vow, he says. It is better not to vow, verse 5, than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth, it says, do what? Lead you into sin. Don't rush to no altar. By the way, the most important statement in that verse is God. You never make vows to people. You make promises to people. Vows are only made to God. What you're telling God is, if I don't keep this, you can judge me. It's different from a promise. You can break a promise, but you can't break a vow, because a vow attracts judgment. He says, do not protest to the temple messenger and say, my vow was a mistake. I made a mistake marrying you. God said, you should never come to this house and say that in front of me. These are verses you never saw. I made a mistake. Why should God be so angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. He said, you're dreaming, man. I love you. And in sickness and in health, poverty and wealth, richer for poorer. Yeah, boy, we don't mean that. You broke, I gone. Richer is good, poorer, I gone. We make vows. God says, what are you doing? These words you put in my hands, you're giving me the power to judge you. This ain't to no preacher. This is to me. Take your time. He says, therefore, stand in awe of God. That means don't rush to no church with no bride dress. Don't buy no tuxedo too fast and get 5 men to damage you with bow tie. Slow down. He says here, be in fear of God. Be afraid to come down that aisle. Our problem is we ain't afraid no more. But if it doesn't work, I guess I'll get another one. Let me go down here and try this one. And you keep changing people. And both parties do it. Everyone's doing it. It's like people think this is a game. God says, look, be afraid of me, because I will judge you. You tell me why you love me, and I am in trouble. Because now I got to maintain what you expect. It's too much pressure. You want to destroy a community? Find a reason for your love. Conditions destroy. I don't know why I love you. May God have mercy on us.